I say like that, like that, like that, and like that. I mean it, you know, this is what spirit moving through a human being looks like in its mastery and in its diversity. I am finding so much of what has been said is like what you just said, Adam. I'm in a totally different place than I was before you all got up. And for one thing, you were all supposed to take 10 minutes and there's still 30 minutes left. So. So part of what was going through my mind, it's about singing your song. One time I hired Kiahi to work in my yard because some stuff had gotten overgrown and she needed some money for something. And she had on her earbuds, and I was seeing patients. And she's wailing in the backyard, and it's, you know, like, I had to close all the windows. She thought she sounded great, you know, because you can't hear, you're just sing along. And I have never laughed so hard, and I finally went out and I said, could you either stop singing or take out the earbuds so you can hear yourself? There are ways in which when we sing our song that it is important to be a beginner and sometimes not look like you really have learned all the words or learned how to perform, but to sing your song because there's a purpose in singing it as a beginner. There is value in being a follower of, like, if maybe taking a voice lesson if you really wanted to be a good singer, or learning how to teach if you wanted to be a teacher in a program. You know, David and I were just speaking about the activities that happen in the fall when we have our service gathering and the trustee stuff. And for years, he and I have been saying, we've got to have teacher training, got to have teacher training. And one of the reasons is because there's so many people who want to teach and there's so many areas that they haven't had a place to practice. Like what it means to actually get the material out, or what it means to stand in your authority about the things you do know and let that be your, how someone could say, like that, I want to know what you're talking about. I was speaking to Justin Martin, who is the, I don't know what his title is, director or coordinator at Riverdale, our community in Australia, and we're going to be doing an FSC program, 2 weeks going through the whole cycle. God blessing, okay, we're moving, you know. But it's going to be 2 weeks, and the potential is that Uma and Gary and I will be going down there, hoping there's enough people that we make sense to have three faculty. I have offered to let them go and not me if there's not enough people, but it does seem like it's important if I go. But in talking to him about it, one of the reasons I'm bringing it up here is because this is like recreating something out of what I already know into something new and wanting to be good at it, wanting to be masterful and also sing my song, because I'm not going to be backed up by David because he's not there. I'll have two of the best teachers we have here with me. But like, what would we create as through our own mastery and our expertise, because we're going to sing together in creating and inviting these people to know something about the creative process, to know something about who they are as an individual, as an angel, as a divine being. My invitation to knowing that has to be genuine and assured, and not just because I know how to read out of a book. And that's true for everybody. When we were talking upstairs about being leaders and followers, I think some people are really afraid of having followers because of what Adam was just speaking about. So now I have to always look like I know what I'm doing. And I don't. That's where the phrase comes for, lonely at the top. It's like I'm at the top and there's nowhere to go because no one knows as much as me or something like that. But to be at the top of your game and be always a follower and a learner makes it really easy for people to approach you and want to co-create with you. That's what evolutionary leaders do, is they want to co-create. They're not interested in being so far on the leading edge that they're alone. Co-creation is part of leadership. And co-creation is part of what Sunrise Ranch was created for, so that people could be together in a spiritual, conscious way saying, let's do this together and let's figure it out together. Some of us have been around a little bit longer. Doesn't mean we know everything. It just means we've been around a little longer, had more chance to practice. I had a conversation with someone today who felt unheard. I can tell you, one of the best things a leader can do is listen. Because if the people who are interested in what you've got can't be listened to by you, you're in the quicksand fast. Because you lose your authority, you lose your invitation, and you lose your ability to invite, and you also lose the atmosphere of what a person wants to be with. I had lunch with a friend yesterday. Not a friend, I met him when he was here for the Inner King training. And we decided to have lunch together. And this was the interesting experience. I met him in the midst of the Inner King training. You know what those guys are like, right? Let's all be there. I mean, it's like this heavenly, radiant, regal, God-like, sovereign reality of these men together. And yeah, that's exactly what it was like. So that's why I said, I called him, and he had told me he was quitting his, he's a minister, and he's a pastor in a Methodist church. And I wanted to hear the continuation of his story, because he told me he's leaving his church and for various reasons. When he was here, he told me that. So when I had lunch with him, he was like at this level as opposed to this level. Like the first thing he did was he held onto the table and he goes, do you know all the list of things that bring people the most stress? Well, I've got them all. So that's where the conversation began. And I was like, I was really hoping for more. Oh, let's go back up here. I wanted to know that. I mean, not that there isn't something wonderful about him being vulnerable about all that. But there's something about when you're extending yourself in an invitation of that high vibration, like, and people are responding to that, make sure that you what you do matters. Don't undo the atmosphere so that a person can't follow you or learn from you. And it doesn't mean always being at a plateau of a leader who never makes a mistake. But so I he said to me, so what... what made you, like, contact me? And I said, because of the high place you were at. And he goes, well, I'm human, too. And I said, yeah, I have no problem with that, but I was really looking, not like wanting, but I thought, there's really was something there. And what I heard about was how he's in grief about this woman that he's still in love with and doesn't know whether or not he should dedicate his life to being celibate waiting for her. I mean, that's a very different conversation than we had during the Inner King training, where we were talking about divinity and sovereignty coming through men. And it's like, well, I could tell you that would be a painful path, but go ahead if that's what you want to do. He says, well, I know that it would be a really painful path. And I said, you're absolutely right, it would be. And all kinds of... I want to be clear, I'm not being critical as much as seeing the difference. And it could actually be that I would see more of that, but that's an interesting card to play with someone who is interested in who you are and what your destiny is and what your legacy is. You know, you all already have a legacy. What you've left behind you in how you've lived your life, and in some ways can't all be forgiven or all be given thanks for, but there are people you've touched and changed their lives. There are people who have been inspired by you. Diana was telling a story of a young man. Yeah, I don't think he's young. George Shears. It's George Shears used to live here many years ago, but his grandson's name is also George Shears. He actually wrote to David and I a while back, and it was like, well, I thought he was dead, you know. But it's actually his grandson, and he has a vibrational connection to what his grandfather did here in his own experience of Sunrise Ranch through that legacy. And I promise you, there are people who know about Sunrise Ranch because of you that have a connection to this place because of how you've lived your life and what you've spoken about and shared with them. People who eat our vegetables have a connection to our legacy because the soil that is here is a result of the people who cared about this place forever. Everybody wants to steal Barrett. What they they don't realize is it's because of the goods we give him, too. It's not just because he's a great chef. It's because he's serving living food. He is serving food infused by the people who have loved this land for all these years and loved each other. That's in the soil, too. That's what's in our dining room. That's what's in our buildings. That's what's in our community. The experience of loving one another. A number of years ago, we were talking, I don't know if it was in a trustee circle or something, someone said something like, I am looking for followers. Because it at times appears that looking for followers is an indication you want to be self-important. But what the person was meaning was, I am looking for people who are hungry for their own transformation. That's what, I want someone to be following in being conscious, not being like me, to realize they can be consciously alive in their life and do something very different and very important. To consciously choose to be a leader, an evolutionary leader, a leader of conscious evolution. Barbara spoke about that over and over again. One of the things I always had an issue with Barbara, I used to tell her this, is like there are things that are part of our legacy. I mean, even if you think of any spiritual leader of the past, like whether it's Jesus for you, a Buddha, or somebody, there was perfection on the earth through those people at times. So it's not as though everything is better now. There are things that were really good then that have been lost. Does anybody else believe that? I certainly believe that there are ways in which there were things that worked better at one point. I believe it without a doubt. I mean, it's because I sense it inside myself that I touch sometimes a design that is like, this really could work a whole lot better. And I know it because it probably has at some point. There's the whole idea of the golden age and the Renaissance and all those things. Magic has been on this planet forever. Some of it's been forgotten. And what would happen now would be evolutionary because it's now with the factors that are in the people and on the earth now. So it's evolutionary in that way. But there's no shame in like getting spiritually centered and touching into the perfection that's been present all along. I do that all the time. I count on it. I rely on the fact that there is perfection in the vibratory pattern that can be touched on. Does anybody ever talk to their dead ancestors? I want to see a show of hands. Anybody besides me? Okay, enough people in the room that there's some understanding of that. And when I'm speaking to my dead ancestors, they're the perfect ancestors. They're not the ones that I actually knew. Do you know what I mean? I mean, when I'm asking my father for advice, he's not Frank. He is the wisest, most loving being who loved me as a daughter, loved me, he loved his family. But all the stuff that was dysfunctional is irrelevant. That's true when I have some cousins who were my very closest friends growing up. I had a lot of cousins. And when I speak to them, there is a perfection in their spirit that is like totally still in communion with me. So if you've not been doing this, I invite you to try it. Think about somebody who you really loved and call them into your awareness and ask them, what do you think? And most of the time, the first thing they'll do is they'll laugh. And they'll say, it's not that big a deal. I don't know if that's what happens every time. It's like, really, Jane? They all just say that to me, like, really? Maybe I just have a whole bunch of Italian smart aleck relatives. They're all New Yorkers. That's the problem. But it's not true. Like, I call sometimes even on Martin, and I just say, I'm in this position, and I feel responsible, and I need your guidance. And even then, it's kind of like, you got it, girl. It's not like, well, go read a book. It's like, you already got it, girl. You already are victorious. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the position of living a life, still being alive, still doing what you're doing. You know, we are in a position that if we're not singing our song, as Adam so beautifully invited us to do, part of the world won't be filled out. And there are things that I'm learning from people that I'm hungry for. And if we decide to step out because it feels uncomfortable or like we might make a mistake, we will maybe make a mistake, but if we stay conscious, we can also own the fact that we're in a learning cycle. We're always in a learning cycle. I mean, if you're a leader and you're not learning, then it's pretty dangerous. It's very dangerous because it's very different the next day, and you better be ready. How about we end our time by chanting and see what we chant into reality? Let's create a circle around the room, and we'll chant.